Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week seems like an appropriate time to talk about Jesus' words in Luke 10, verse 2, where he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." After all, the end of this week begins our National Synod Convention in Milwaukee, where we will talk about just that issue of sending laborers into the harvest. Mission work, pastoral calls, even the question of employing licensed lay deacons to assist the pastoral office, all of these issues boil down to just this verse from Scripture. As we look into these matters, we very much must pray to God to call and raise up laborers to join in the kingdom-building work of the harvest. And when we look at the world around us, this becomes all too important. There is a huge harvest field out there waiting to be harvested. Internationally, we look and there is a major need for workers in the harvest field. Our synod in the last triennium, the last 3 years, has doubled its number of career missionaries. Wow, that is a lot of extra laborers out in the harvest. China and India are both massive mission fields, which our synod has historically been involved in, and which still require our prayer and support. The former Soviet bloc is still recovering against the communist war against religion, and especially against the Christian church. There is a huge international need for laborers in the harvest. And within our own national borders in the U.S., there is no less need for laborers. In fact, America itself is the third largest mission field in the world, behind the two previously mentioned, China and India. Now we praise God that He has given us a country where we are free to worship as we choose and practice our religion as we choose, something which we remember with our Independence Day celebrations this weekend. But too many of our friends and neighbors, too many in our nation, consider this to be freedom from religion. And so consequently, there is a growing threat to Christianity in America of it not just losing its privileged status, but even coming under fire from outside forces. There are enormous numbers of our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, even, yes, our own family members who don't know the saving message of Jesus. If we look around us at those we come into contact with, how many of them do not believe? How many of them do not gather around Christ's body in Christ's body in the church? After all, statistically, 80% of people in America don't attend regular worship. 80%, 4 out of every 5. For every one person in here, 4 people out there do not go. And a growing number of people in America don't believe in any religion. There is a huge mission field out there that needs laborers. And due to a variety of factors, there is also a huge number of LCMS congregations which are without a pastor. We must absolutely pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field who are willing to serve. Now, when we look at our text, we see how Jesus sends them out. He sends the laborers out, the 72, 2 by 2. because a pair is stronger than just solo individuals, because when one falls down, the other can help him up. So, for example, Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, there was actually a study that was performed a while back about the effects of peer pressure. All of the children in a given classroom, except for one, were told to answer 2 + 2 with 5. Now, we all know that 2 + 2 = 4, but for the sake of this study, they said 2 + 2 = 5. So they would call the one, they would bring the class together, the teacher would ask 2 + 2 = what does 2 + 2 =? And the one would say 5, and the teacher would say yes. And the one student who was not in on it would say no, it equals 4, and they would argue back and forth, 4, 5, 4, 5. Statistically, most of the time, that one student would give in to the peer pressure in the end. They tried that study again with that and told, and two students were not in on it. And the two together proved to be more like or less likely to give in to the pressure to change their answer to the incorrect one. Two are stronger than one. And so Jesus sends out the laborers in pairs so that they can support and help each other. He gives them specific tasks to perform. He tells them to perform the acts of mercy, to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, to perform acts of mercy, doing good things. Jesus gives them the power to do these things. See, they heal the sick, they raise the dead, they cast out demons. They do all of these things to give them the opening to proclaim God's message that the kingdom of God has come near to you. And this was the important part of why they were sent out, the message which the miracles confirm. The miracles and works of service were important for helping people, yes, but they were most efficacious when paired with the proclamation of the saving gospel that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, for us today, this labor looks a little different, but it is no less important to Christ's ministry in the world. When we look at our church, we perform these acts of mercy on a national level, on a local level, on an individual level. By providing for physical needs on a national level through soup kitchens, through homeless shelters, through retirement homes, such as Lutheran Senior Services, immigrant services, such as the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, disaster response, such as the Lutheran Emergency Response Teams, Comfort Dogs, all of these things help to perform acts of mercy to care for people and create those openings for the message. On a personal level, on a local level, our church makes quilts to help those who are in need in our community, either in McFarland and Alma, or at Topeka Rescue Mission. With our youth activities, getting to know kids so they are comfortable with the church and feel the support which the church can provide. Perhaps also by making Christmas baskets for families who are in need in our community. All of these things helped to open avenues for proclaiming the message, the same message which the 72 proclaimed, that Jesus came in the flesh to be our Savior. The message that we are forgiven for all our sins, not because of anything that we do to earn it, but because Christ does it all for us by his death on the cross. We proclaim this message in ways that people can hear and understand, which means getting to know their struggles, getting to know them personally. There's something very important for you to understand about this passage. We're so used to applying this text, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We're so used to applying this text to the call for pastors and missionaries to go out and serve the church professionally that we can forget the greater context. You see, when Jesus gives that command to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, he is actually talking to the ones who are being sent out. He isn't talking to the professionals alone, the 12 disciples. He isn't talking just to those who are going to make a career out of following the Lord's call into professional church work, though some of them did. No, the 72 are actually people like you. People who have their own lives, their own jobs, but who also follow the Lord's call to serve him in everything they do. So the work of the harvest is not just the job of a select few pastors. It is the work of all Christians. All who have been baptized and received the Holy Spirit through faith are called into this harvest field. And so you also are sent out into the harvest. This is a difficult and challenging work. You have the message of Christ's love for sinful people, which needs to be proclaimed to sinful people. This is not an easy task, but it is one which God blesses by giving you his Spirit to guide you. There are people you meet in your vocations who are struggling with the consequences of sin in their lives, struggling with broken relationships, struggling with finding meaning in their lives, people who need to hear the message of a loving God who sent his beloved Son to heal our relationship with him by paying the price for our sins. Do not worry about the words you will use in these situations. God will provide them just as he provides laborers to work in his harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send us out as laborers into his harvest. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. We worship our God with our offering.